You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
Tales. It's not going to be what today is today. And just like real with self, when we dealt with that, we didn't solve all your problems in one sermon, right? When we're talking about real with others, we didn't fix all of your relationships. And when we dealt with real with God, you're not perfect with God now. Same thing. Real with mission, this is not going to answer every question, but hopefully it's going to spark a passion maybe, or begin a passion to go, God, yeah, you are calling me to do something with you, with others. And this is what I truly live for. It's not just to be aligned with God and just kind of be happy at home on the couch. And so as we go in, I want to change a perspective. Because a lot of times when pastors or churches have a big campaign or a big sermon about getting involved, getting into mission, I want to confess, as a pastor, sometimes we end up guilting you into doing stuff. And that's not what I want to do today. What I want to do is hopefully show you that when you are passionate about something, it just kind of oozes out. Anybody have a favorite sports team? Okay. Is it hard, if I asked you right now, you don't have to, please don't, but if I asked Chelsea to tell me about your favorite sports team, would it be hard for her? She'd just be like, well, let me tell you. Back in 1945, the team started, and you're like, whoa, that was a lot. And she could just go on and on, right? What about favorite foods? Anybody could just like tell me about your favorite foods? Do I have to really like, come on, no, please tell me. No, you're like, oh my gosh, first we do this, and then we do this. And in my case, it'd be like, first my mom or Jen does this, and then they do this. But they just start telling about all this food and how it's prepared and how delicious it is and what you should pair with as far as wine or whatever you do. And you just go off. Favorite restaurant, same thing, right? Favorite movies, actresses, whatever, Katy Perry, whatever, whoever. And you would just like, just comes forward because you're passionate about it. And whatever your passion is, people don't have to beg you to explain to me what's going on with that. You're just excited about it, and it just comes out, right? That's what I want. That's what God wants for your life and your mission for Him. This is not, hey, guys, we need some more people in the nursery, okay? Hey, guys, I need you to come on a prayer walk with me and do some evangelism. Hey, God, like, that's not the feel. The feel is, I want you to go, God, I'm not quite passionate about you yet. I want to connect with you, and you show me what your desires are. There's a Bible verse that says, ask God for the desires of your heart, and He'll give them to you. It's not, hey, God, I want a big house, I want a fancy car, I want, and then give me, those are the desires of my heart, give them to me. No, it's, God will give you the desires of His heart into your heart. It's, again, aligning with Him. And then when those are the desires of your heart, then He's going to give them to you. Right? If you start getting passionate about bringing people to Christ, He's going to do that. You get passionate about a car, He's going to be like, nah, I don't know. Right? It's not whatever you want. And we'll talk about that. But, yeah. So hopefully, like, if you're like, I don't know, I just don't feel like serving right now. I don't feel like doing those things. We need to look at our own hearts and find out, God, what's going on with me and you that I'm not super excited about sharing about you? All right. Let's go to Luke 2:52. Because I think this is an important verse about perspective on kind of where we should begin. Luke 2:50 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, if there was one person on the planet that should have had it together and he probably didn't need to grow at all, it would have been Jesus. But this verse says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. He grew. This is talking about when he was a little kid and he was growing up. He grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. Now, the cool part about him is he never sinned. That's pretty cool. We've all made mistakes. We've all messed up. We're not perfect. But that's where the freedom comes in, that you know what? If Jesus grew, if Jesus learned in wisdom, if Jesus grew in stature and in favor with God and with man, then it's okay. Wherever you're starting, wherever I'm starting, it's okay. And we can grow. And so I hear a lot of people say, like when I invite people to church, they say that they're not ready to come to church yet. When I get a couple more things right in my life, then I'll be ready to come into church. And it's like, that would be very similar to saying, like someone has a broken arm or some, you know, disease or something like that. Like, once I get rid of this disease, I'm going to go to the doctor. Once I fix my own arm, I'm going to go to the doctor and make sure I did it right. No. No, that is so backwards. Church is like a hospital. Come in. Come in and grow with us. That's what this community is about. Yeah. Go to John 5:19. It says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Why is this verse important to Real With Mission? Because this is where or who we are supposed to focus on. What's the source of our mission? Where does it come from? It's from God. If Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. If Jesus couldn't do anything by himself, that should let it be okay for us to go, okay, I can't do everything on my own. So I want to give you that freedom in truth that it's okay if you don't always feel strong enough to do what God's calling you to do because you're not. If Jesus was like, I can't do anything by myself, then it's okay for us to also go, God, I need you. I need help. He does only what he sees the Father doing. I love how Jesus is talking in third person. Kind of funny. Anyway, whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And that should be direction for us. And then that also should kind of point out a question to us. How much of the time, how much of the day do I spend searching for God to see what he's doing so that I can figure out what I should be doing? I don't know about you, but for me, a lot of times I will get to the end of the day and like, oh my gosh, God, I forgot all about you. I prayed for my food at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I prayed for my kids when they went to sleep, and not too much more. That's not right. If Jesus is saying, whatever the Father does, the Son also does, it sounds like he's getting directions straight from God the Father, and that's how we're supposed to live. That's kind of where pray without ceasing comes in. Continue throughout the day with him. Walk with him. Walk in his strength. Yeah. Go to the next verse. Very similar. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. Again, where is his source of truth? Where is he getting his direction? From the Father. And so, just wanted to make that clear. And so, what is our mission? Let's move into, okay, so the source is God himself. What is the actual mission? And we're going big picture. And there's four things that we wanted to bring to you. Number one is to love God. Two, to love others with the love that God gives us. And those are tied directly to verses, the greatest commandment, right? What's the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love others as yourself. And so, big picture, the first thing you're supposed to do is to love God. And as we go through a lot of, there's going to be a lot of how-to today. As you go through them, there's going to be some that you're like, you know what? That one I'm pretty good with. That one feels comfortable with me. I want I want you to focus, not so much focus, but realize which ones you're having difficulty with or that don't come natural to you. And so if loving God is a little bit abstract and feels funny to you, talk to God. God, why does that feel so strange? Or why is that harder? Why does that not feel natural? And then focus on that. And throughout the week, keep asking that and focus on it. Second, to love others with the love God gives us. The end right there is important because, again, some of us beat ourselves up when we're not loving. And what I want to give you the freedom to do is to say, I don't have to produce the love. When I connect with God, He gives the love that should pour out. And Pastor Nathan, a couple weeks ago, talked about a pool of water that might be coming from a stream or something like that. If it's dammed up and it doesn't have an outlet, that pond just starts to, I don't know what the word would be, but it starts getting gross, right? Mosquitoes start going in there, it's gross. But if there's water coming in and there's water going out, it stays clean. And that's what's supposed to happen in a Christian's life. As we receive love from God, continue to let it out. And so hopefully you're not striving to produce the love for others because that was never God's intention, right? Again, the Son couldn't do anything without the Father. And so same thing with us. I would rather you stop striving to be a good person and start striving and putting all your effort into loving and finding and serving God. That's when alignment will happen. Anyway. Next is to serve God's kingdom. This should be kind of a no-brainer, but ironically, this sometimes gets pushed aside. And especially when we deal so much with being real with ourselves, others, and God, serving God's kingdom sometimes can get pushed aside. And some of that is for good reason. A, if you're broken on the inside or you're having a lot of trouble with relationships, going and doing religious stuff is not the answer. That almost is actually a distraction from taking care of what God wants you to take care of with Him. And so sometimes this gets pushed aside, but here's the thing. If you always focus on being with ourselves, others, and God, and you never get to serving God's kingdom, that is missing an important component, okay? And here's what you can't split them up. I was explaining to our leadership team that was praying in the back this morning that we've been dealing with real with ourselves, others, and God for a long time, and sometimes we don't put in the work for God's kingdom. And kind of like what I was talking about with alignment. You get the car aligned and then you don't go anywhere. But on the other hand, if you're doing God's business and you're not aligned, right, you're having trouble with yourself or you're having trouble in relationships or you're having trouble with God, that's where a lot of people see hypocrisy. That's where when Jesus is blasting the religious leaders in his time, that's what they were doing. They were doing religious stuff. But a lot of times their hearts were far from God. They weren't loving people. And if you look at their lives, they were broken on the inside a lot of times, right? And so one of these is not more important than the others, I don't think. It's all a package deal. This is the relationship with God. This is Christianity. But we definitely need to serve in God's kingdom. Tell others about God's victory over death. That sounds a lot like evangelism, and we don't all do that, right? That's for the evangelist. That's for the super spiritual, don't worry about number four. No, this is actually something, again, if we are passionate about Jesus, if we're passionate about how much He saved us from, we're going to be excited to tell other people about God's victory over death, having a relationship with Him. Check this out. Like I was talking to Jen. Jen is my wife, by the way, if you don't know her. But I was talking to her mom one day about her visits to China. And I'll never forget her telling me a story about her talking to this Chinese lady, and she was talking about prayer, and she was like, yeah, I think she's talking about a quiet time. She's like, one time I was talking to God, and she's like, hold on, what? Now, this is in Chinese, so it's probably different, but in English, she would have been like, what? Hold on, you get to talk to God? And I was like, why is that surprising? Yeah, I pray every day, right? To her, the idea that you get to talk to God himself was incomprehensible. Like, I don't understand what you're saying. You get to talk to God? You have a relationship with God? And she started explaining, yeah, like, I'm his kid. You're God's kid? Like, what? And so, like, I can't even imagine the rest of the conversation, but how many times do we just kind of walk like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Yeah, I dip the bread in the juice every week. Yeah, that's what I do because I'm his kid. We get to talk to the creator of the universe. We get to hang out with him. We get to tell others about him. Sometimes we take that for granted, but again, like, and I'm not, again, I do not want to guilt you into evangelism. I don't want to guilt you into telling people about his victory over death, his amazing grace, incredible mercy. I don't want to guilt you into telling him. But if you're not excited to share something, we got to go, God, what's going on with me and you? What is going on? Because it should be the most exciting, the most, like, whoever you love, you should just be, ugh. And I'm not trying to minimize all the reasons why we end up not. You don't want to offend. You don't want to, whatever. But telling you, like, it is part of the big picture of what God is calling us to do. This is every Christian. This is not for who's paid staff at church. This is not for, well, you're one of the leaders. This is for everybody. All right, so let's move on to personally, what's going on with you? Personally, number one, I get my directions and orders from God. This is real with God, okay? And how do we do that? Number one, you got to be reading God's word. You have to read the Bible. You've got to be getting in touch with what God wrote to humans. He wrote a book. Pretty cool. If you don't believe me, ask Tawny. She can break down how literally why it's awesome. Not just the truth in God that it brings, but just in literature. It is seriously amazing. And the fact that I think it's 66 books by I don't know how many authors, and it all makes one story, it is amazing. But a lot of us aren't reading it, and a lot of us definitely aren't reading it with passion. Like, God wrote me a book. God wrote me a book. Should I read it? Nah. God wrote you a book. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. God wrote you a book. Who's your favorite author? What if they wrote you a book and you never read it? That'd be kind of sad. Well, your favorite singer, he or she wrote you a song and you never listened to it. That's ridiculous. But we do that with God. And again, I don't want to guilt you. That is kind of guilting, huh? I don't want to guilt you. I'm just showing you the truth that, like, God wrote you a book and you're not reading it. I'm reading it. No, I'm just kidding. I need to read more too. Also, you can hear the teaching of Scripture. So he wrote you a book, but some of it's kind of confusing, right? So it's okay to hear other people teaching. That's kind of why we meet here and why a big part of our worship service is worshiping God through bringing what God's telling us to tell you. And then that is a good thing. So I had someone text me. It's one of you. I'm not going to point to who it is, but one of you was like, I have no desire to get out of bed today. A lot of us probably felt that, right? You just didn't all text me. oh, gosh. But that's okay. But it's very important for you to be here. It's very important for me to be here. Guys, I learned so much from Pastor Nathan, from all the people that speak. It is good to hear what other people are hearing from God. Number three, by praying and slowing ourselves to listen. Oh my goodness. This one I will just straight up guilty. You don't slow down. No, I'm just kidding. All of us, we get wrapped up in life and we get going, and it's so easy for us not to slow down and listen, not only to other people, which would, I'm telling you, for those of you who don't do it, it will, you're going to be blessed in your relationships. You start listening more than you talk. But with God, it is infinitely more important, because this is what a lot of our prayer lives are like. God, here's my Santa Claus wish list. I'm out. And that's it. And God wants to speak to you. It's amazing to me when we ask God a question and then we listen. And then he answers. He doesn't always answer. He doesn't always answer right away. He doesn't always give us the yes that we want. But we have to pray expectantly, like, God, you're going to listen. You're not only listening to me, but you're going to tell me. This week I had the privilege of praying with somebody, and straight up miracles were happening. It was amazing. In like instant. I have a headache. Yeah, is it spiritual? And then it's gone. I'm like, wow, that's fast. Oh my gosh. Another time, this person's praying about something, and I'm thinking about something. It's not about me. It really isn't. But sometimes we get to take part in what God is doing. Anyway, I pray, and like literally less than a minute later, boom, this person gets a text and gets the answer. It wasn't the answer that person wanted, but it was an answer. And through it, huge blessing. I mean, it's just amazing. God is good, but we have to slow down and listen. How much are we missing because we're not listening? I bet you there's books. Mike, here's where you missed and missed and missed. Like, you had this, you had to, like, oh my gosh, this was going to be amazing and you missed it. I hope it's not a long book. It probably is, though. Whatever. Number four, by circumstances, you've got to be paying attention. Sometimes God is speaking in the circumstances and we just miss it. You've got to slow down, not only listen to God in prayer, but also be watchful. God, what are you doing? Have you ever seen somebody in love with somebody and they're missing all the red flags? I'm not going to go on too much into this, but I'm sure either you or somebody you know has gone through that, and you're like, you are missing the circumstances. Everything is saying no, break up, and run. And you're like, I know, but this person's so special and cute. Shut your mouth. Move on. Anyway, we'll go on. That was some counseling coming out. Anyway, sorry. That's sometimes what we think on the inside. Just kidding. All right, maybe. Number five, by input from godly believers. This is invaluable. Be careful with who you go to for advice. Don't go to just anybody. But when you're making big decisions, when you're wrestling with things, please go to people that are listening to God. It is easy to find people that will give you worldly answers. It's all over. The commercial saying, I deserve a bigger credit card so that I can get what I want. That's what the commercial saying. I think I should do it. Yeah, you totally deserve it. Go do it. I'm telling you right now, that's not good. And then the godly person's like, no, you should probably live within your means. That's dumb. I'm going for a new car. Right? Anyway, input from godly believers. Let's move to working with others. Number two, I tell others what I believe God is telling me. And then let's talk about who do you tell. When God's working in your life, please share it with your community. One of the ways the enemy can weaken a church is when the people in church don't share what God is doing. And as part of the leadership team, maybe we should start providing more opportunities for you to share. But we're not stopping you. If you have incredible stuff, please share. And I personally know of incredible miracles that are happening in your lives. Incredible, incredible stuff. And it's usually not my place to share. It's usually your place to share. I'm just going to share when you text me in the morning. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, tell others. Tell others. Number two, I tell my core. There's things that you tell everybody, then there's things that you share with the people in your life that are building into you, that you have relationships with, that you feel safe with, right? There's things that you don't share with the whole planet, and there are things that you share with your core. Use discernment. Listen to God, and then share with your core. If you're not real with the core people around you, you're going to probably be in a lot of trouble. You've got to start sharing. One of the ways that the enemy works, again, I don't want to focus too much on the enemy, but one of the ways that he works is he isolates you and lets you deal with stuff on your own. And you keep smiling, acting like everything's good, and then we find out later you were just destroyed. And we're like, what happened? Week after week, you said you were doing fine. What happened? Share with your core. What else? Tell your leaders. Of all people, leaders should be connected with the most people, right? Because we're kind of in charge with you. And yet sometimes it's one of the loneliest places because you don't want to share stuff with us. Tell us, what's going on well? I want to hear it. What are you struggling with? I want to hear it. I want to know. Tell your leaders. And then four, and this is again, going that whole slowing down to listen. I listen for feedback. As you're sharing with other people, please listen. Now, a little advice. As you're listening to other people share, if you're in someone's core group and they're sharing with you, don't start giving advice flippantly and just whatever comes to your mind, start sharing. Please, you slow down and listen to God too. Listen to the person, listen to God. And if God's saying share, then share. Right? If they're asking, what do you think? Then obviously share. But, be open to feedback. What else? All right, let's move on to real with self. We're talking about the big picture. What's our mission? I take my next step of faithfulness. How do we do that? Number one, by faith. A lot of the stuff that God is calling you to is not easy. It's just not. But that's when you have to stop. And you have to just remember, how has God taken care of you already? How has God taken care of you already? What do you have? If you focus on what you don't have, doesn't it seem like life is terrible sometimes? But when you start listing all the ways that God blesses you, all the amazing relationships that you have, all the ways he's taking care of your family, all of a sudden your perspective changes to, man, my life is terrible, to, oh my goodness, I have a lot compared to other people sometimes. I have a lot. I am honestly rich. Not in the way the world would say, but I am rich. God has blessed. And so then that helps you to go back to, God, if you've been blessing me the whole time and you never change, then I think I'm going to be all right. I'm going to keep walking with you. How else do you take our next steps of faith? In patience. Oh, man. We're going to cover a Bible study a little bit later, but people in the Bible, we read it quickly. And in a chapter, they've gone 30 years sometimes. We read and we're like, okay, so if I do this, this should happen like this. Sometimes God uses things in patience, in time. And are you willing to take time with God? We'll get to that. Number three, with prayer. Again, sometimes in our day, we just, there's some things that we do habitually, like some things at your work or morning routines or like family routine, and it just happens. Slow down and pray through. Again, that whole pray without ceasing thing. Take your next steps in prayer. And then where do you get the power? You're powered by God's love. That's where the power is. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, all that is what God has in store. That's who He is. That's what He provides. If you're not connected to Him, you're not getting that power. You're not getting that. And so then you're trying to produce it and wondering why it's failing miserably and why you're tired. That's why He says, I'm the vine. You're just the little branches. Connect to me. You're connected to me. You have the source of all goodness. That's the alignment part. That's how you take your next steps. And again, as we're walking through, if you're wondering why you're tired, it might be number four. If you're lacking discernment, making a lot of bad decisions, maybe it's not, you're not walking in prayer. If you're frustrated, it's not happening fast enough, you might not be okay with, you know what, this is in God's timing. If you quit before you even start, it might be because that faith is lacking, because you're forgetting about how good God is, and if He's having you go through it, it might be okay. It might not just be okay, but it might be good. We've taught before that sometimes part of growing closer to God is the struggle. It's tough. All right. Let's go to the four stages of God's plans. This is a lot of times how God works. This is not, and there's probably other steps in your life, but in general, this is a lot of how God works when you're talking about how we go on mission with God. God will birth a plan in your heart to move you. So He'll say something kind of crazy. Move to Chicago. I know you live in beautiful Southern California. I'm just kind of sharing what happened to me. But I need you to move to cold Chicago where you can walk to church and it's like 29 degrees. That never happens here, right? Except it happened today. Whatever. But God births a plan in your heart to move you. And for you impatient people, does He usually do it that fast? Is He like, here it is? No. Usually it takes some time. And here's what He does. Number two, God removes my plan to reveal my attachments, my flaws, my insecurities, all the stuff that I add. He's like, here's the plan. He gives you like usually a general outline. And then I start adding. Well, I want to do this. I want to do this. And He starts to show me how I'm trying to add to the plan. Then what He does is God reshapes me through suffering so I can steward the plan in Him, with His strength, walking with Him. Walking in His strength. Then number four, God resurrects the plan and He receives the glory. Finally, when you get tired and you're like, okay, God, how do you want to do it? And He's finally allowed to go, okay, here's what I've wanted to do the whole time. We just had to get through some of your stuff. And then you're like, oh my gosh, God, You are good. Those are the stages of God's plan. And I know that's very general. But let's go through the story of Abraham real fast, or at least part of the story of Abraham. If you guys know, when he was Abram, God called him to go to a new place, not his hometown, but away. And in the middle of that place, when he was like 75 or something like that, go to a new place, and he does. And then I think it's when he's like 85. Somewhere between 75 and 85, God reveals, hey, you are going to be the father of many nations. This is when he's like in his 70s. We have some people in their 70s in here. Don't look at them. But I want you to think, if God said, you're going to go to a new place, and by the way, you're about to have a whole bunch of kids, at 70, You're going to have a whole bunch of kids.
My wife and I were in our 20s when we had kids, and it was rough. It was tough, right? I can't imagine being in your 80s trying to have kids. Jay, it is crazy. Don't wait till you're 80. But that was God's plan. Don't start soon, though, either. This is getting weird. Let's get back to this. All right. But God gives them a plan. I'm going to make you the father of great nations. Nations. How would you receive it if you were in your 70s? I'm going to be the father. I haven't had kids for 70 plus years. That is crazy. I am not going to have a kid. I can't even play soccer in my 70s. How am I going to play? All right. But then what happened? God makes Abraham and Sarah wait. He lets a decade go by. And then you guys know, what does Sarah suggest of all the things on the planet? Why don't you have a baby with my servant? That'll fix it. It does not go well. But they try because they've waited, like God in their 70s. You're going to have a son. You're going to be the father of many nations. We've waited a whole decade. They're in their 80s now. Why don't you do this? And they try their plan. Why? To show your plans are flawed. It's okay. We got to get through that. That's fine. And then finally, God, through his power, executes the plan. Guys, she gets pregnant when they're 99. Has the baby when they're 100. They hit triple digits when they have a kid. That's insane, but it's incredibly miraculous. Like, it's amazing. Anywho. Babe, we're not going to have a kid at 100, right? Okay, good. Whew, hopefully not. Crazy stuff. But that's a lot of the ways that God works. Let's go to Proverbs 16. I'm going to run through a lot of different Proverbs right now. Proverbs 16 says, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. As I read these, see which one hits you. I'm not going to go through them very, very long, but there's a lot of truth in these, and see which one gets you. Next one, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. How many of you don't do that? I know I need to do that more. Proverbs 16:3 says we can make our own plans, but the Lord determines our steps. The next one, 16:21, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. 16:25. Next one, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. And the last one, Proverbs 20:18. Plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. How many of us just make quick decisions really fast? Whatever just comes out, you just give it out. Dangerous stuff. As you go through the week and you're trying to figure out kind of how God has been shaping you, how God has been moving you, what's he calling you to do, look at those and see where you kind of fall. Proverbs is all about showing what fools do and what godly wisdom says. So wrestle with those. Let's go to the application. Because God works in me to make me more like Christ. He has given me the grace and the tools to walk in faith. And here are the tools. So in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, he talks about what you need to go into battle. Because whether you realize it or not, we're going into battle every day. There is a true enemy. Now praise God, God is bigger than our enemy. And that's the truth that we stand in. We walk in his strength. But what's funny is God gave you armor. And some of us are just going outside without any armor. We're going into war in our chonies. You don't know what that is, like our underwear. That's a scary place to be, out fighting a battle in your underwear. All right. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Doesn't that sound good? How many of you guys feel crushed sometimes? Might be why. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Again, going back, reading the Bible, knowing it, living it, loving it is important. It's like a sword in battle. How many of you are going into battle without a weapon? You can't attack. They have swords and shields and stuff, and you're going in there trying to slap them. Not going to work. The sword is important. 18, pray in the Spirit at all times. And on every occasion. Didn't say sometimes. Didn't say every once in a while. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Again, that whole pray without ceasing. And on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Some believers in some places? No, we're a team. Teams lose when they're not together. When they're on different pages, anybody like football? When you don't know the play, it falls apart. Scary stuff. All right, same thing spiritually. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and here's the closing prayer. Let's pray. God, I pray that it was we are on mission. We will hold to the truth you have told us. We depend on your righteousness, God. Help us to relax in the peace that you give us. Help us to respond in faith. Help us to know that Christ, you have saved us. And Holy Spirit, you are leading us. Help us to be encouraged by your scripture, God. Help us to know it. Help us to pray about everything. God, we need your help. Spirit of God, you lead us. Amen.